Mind War. And I'm Decoder, your humble host. Roger Five isn't here today, actually, because he wanted to sleep. I kind of want to sleep too, but, you know, whatever. I just had to bring you the listeners this anyway. I am, of course, joined with Doug.
Yep, yep.
Engineer. And it's November 7th, 2004 right now. And we have a special, special guest today. My man, Slip Mode.
How's it going, everyone?
What is up, Slip? Of course, you know, you might know Slip Mode from his long-running radio show, In the Now. It's been around for years and years and years. Since, I think, sometime in the early 70s. You started doing that?
No, not that long, but feels like it. Not 2001.
2001. It's a long fucking time. Anyway, this is the Mind War. And, I don't know. Today, I kind of have a... I want to talk about a guy. Well, a little bit about him. A guy named Charles Fort. A lot of, no, not many people may be familiar with this guy, Charles Fort. But I will preface it by saying that I spoke about this on a previous episode that last Friday, previous Friday, was the first Friday of the month, and I was at the New York City 2600 meeting. And when I was coming home, I stopped at this place, this little newsstand in Grand Central Station called Hudson News, that are apparently some kind of from the Hudson Group retail specialists, and they apparently have like these little newsstands and bookstores and transportation hubs, like, you know, train stations and airports and the like. And being kind of a magazine aficionado, I picked up a lot of weird magazines, a lot of fringe shit, you know what I'm saying? Which even, I was mentioning before that, earlier, before we started recording, that 2600 is kind of like a fringe magazine to outsiders, you know what I'm saying?
Yeah, it definitely is.
I mean, we being these quote-unquote so-called hackers or whatever, it just seems like a normal thing to us. But it's a fringe publication. It's not the mainstream. It is the underground. You know, and just because you could buy it at Barnes and fucking Nobles or something doesn't mean it's still not underground, you know.
Yeah, the writers are just various people all over the place.
Yeah, exactly. You don't get paid for it or anything, you know. But anyway, this other magazine I picked up, kind of on the work of Charles Fort called Fortean Times, which is on the web at www.fortean.times, named after, of course, this fucker Charles Fort. And it's kind of an expensive publication, $9.50. I think it is distributed in the U.S. now, but it used to be kind of a U.K.-only thing, and if you did find it at bookstores, it would have, you know, all telltale signs, like the U.K. barcode, and a little an American barcode over that, like a sticker, you know what I'm saying? But now it does appear that it's distributed in the U.S., but it's still fucking expensive at $9.50. But whatever, you know what? I pay my money for it. I don't care. I just like to throw away money. But anyway, definitely is a very interesting magazine. And it's just about, like, strange things, weird shit, which kind of fits into the overall feel of kind of what I hope this show is gonna end up being about. Before I get into fucking Fort, we don't have any emails, right, Doug? Forgot about that.
No, we have none at all.
Nobody sends us emails. That's good. Well, people start sending emails. Maybe you got some interesting shit. Who knows?
Seriously, yeah, send the emails.
We like emails.
We take those on our show as well.
Yeah, send it to In the Now. Give it. Plug fucking your website and shit.
It's slipnet.org, slipnet.org.
There you go. Everybody wants emails. We want feedback. Otherwise, like, what the fuck is the point? You know what I'm saying? But anyway, this magazine, Fortean Times, and Charles Fort himself, it actually makes it quite easy for me. And for anybody who wants to read this magazine, because in the back of the magazine, in every issue, they have a small box that says, Why Fortean? And it explains why. And I'm going to just read that for the listeners, just to make it a little easier for them and for me, to explain basically what this is about. And I'm also going to read a few things out of this magazine, kind of discuss it, shit like that. But it reads, Fortean Times is a monthly magazine of news, reviews, and research, excuse me, on strange phenomena and experiences, curiosities, prodigies, and portents. It was founded by Bob Rickard, R-I-C-K-A-R-D, I don't know how to pronounce that, in 1973 to continue the work of Charles Fort, 1874 to 1932. Born of Dutch stock, in Albany, New York, Fort spent many years researching scientific literature in the New York Public Library and the British Museum Library. He marshaled his evidence and set forth his philosophy in these four books: The Book of the Damned from 1919, New Lands, 1923, Low, which is L-O exclamation point, 1931, and Wild Talents, 1932. He was skeptical of scientific explanations, observing how scientists argued according to their own beliefs rather than the rules of evidence, and that inconvenient data was ignored, suppressed, discredited, or explained away. He criticized modern science for its reductionism, its attempts to define, divide, and separate. Ford's dictum, quote, "one measures a circle beginning anywhere," expresses instead his philosophy of continuity, in which everything is an intermediate and transient state between extremes, which is really, you know, this guy's fucking, he's got his shit together. He had ideas of the universe as organism and the transient nature of all apparent phenomena. He coined the term teleportation, which Slip mentioned to me earlier, which is kind of cool, and was perhaps the first to speculate that mysterious light seen in the sky might be craft from outer space. However, he cut at the very roots of, how do you pronounce this word? Credulity?
Credulity.
Credulity, that's what I thought. I don't want to sound like a retard. he cut at the very roots of credulity. Quote, "I conceive of nothing in religion, science, or philosophy that is more than the proper thing to wear for a while." Which kind of, you know, gets into the fact that this guy just was thinking all the time, you know? And, of course, as thinking people do, your minds change all the time. You never know. What you believe today might be different tomorrow.
Yeah, it sounded like he was evaluating a lot of different perspectives of how certain things happened and tried to exclude the political views, the philosophical views, and
religious.
Just get down and religious, and get down to what I think he would consider pure logic.
Exactly. And with pure logic, you know, sometimes shit changes based on the evidence, you know.
Definitely.
Presented with new evidence, you might be forced to change your tune, you know what I'm saying?
And it depends on how that evidence is interpreted and by who the person that interprets it, as we've seen plenty of time in the world of technology and the system, that sometimes it's not interpreted very well.
Well, yeah, definitely. Let me continue. Fort was by no means the first person to collect anomalies and oddities. Such collections have abounded from Greece to China since ancient times. Fortean times keeps alive this ancient task of passionate weird-watching, exploring the wild frontiers between the known and the unknown. From the viewpoint of mainstream science, its function is elegantly stated in a line from Enid Welsford's book on the medieval fool. Quote, "The fool does not lead a revolt against the law. He lures us into a region of the spirit where the writ does not run." That was another smart guy. Anyway, besides being a journal of record, Fortean Times is also a forum for the discussion and observations of ideas, however absurd or unpopular, and maintains a position of benevolent skepticism towards both the orthodox and the unorthodox. Fortean Times toes no party line, and that's the important part, which is why I read this, because just like fucking us, we don't toe a party line either. We're sitting here just to point shit out. However weird, unpopular, some people might call it conspiracies or the fucking whatever else, it's just weird shit that we decide to talk about.
Which typically is the thing that's not talked about enough.
Exactly, and that's the whole point. Exactly, Slip. It's not talked about enough, which is why we're fucking here. We're here to put forth the views that you're not going to hear in the mainstream. You're not going to read about it fucking where the normal places that you go. Now, fortunately, just based on the way we're doing this particular show, and excuse me, I guess who we are, quote-unquote, and what people know us as, that most of the people who are going to be listening to this don't really go for the mainstream anyway, you know what I'm saying? It kind of leaves a bad taste in their mouth to believe what it says in, like, you know, your hometown newspaper or on the fucking television news.
Or you're going to listen to the show to be a refreshing addition to your day of listening to all the mainstream crap.
Yeah, it could, and, you know, here's like a point-counterpoint type of thing.
Yeah.
But, there is some, and I am going to get into a little bit of kind of even freaky related shit today, actually, which isn't going to happen that often, but there's something in here that I want to read that has something to do with that. But as I said, you know, Charles Fort, crazy dude, fucking lots of stuff. Get those books. He's a fucking cool guy. Anyway, but the one, there was one thing I wanted to get on in here that I'm going to read to do with urban legends, urban myths. And this is actually quite interesting. I'm sure that both of you have heard various things just like this before. And when I read it, I'm sure you'll be reminded of hearing this sometime in the past. And this particular little tiny thing in here is called Dim the Lights. The following email was widely circulated in May 2004. We have received a warning at the London Ambulance Service and have been asked to pass on the information to all our families and friends. The LAS, which is the London Ambulance Service, have units closely associated with the police DARE, of course, everybody knows what DARE is, with the police DARE squads based in South London who are basically fighting gang crimes. The street gangs in London, particularly South London at present, but it's sure to spread, have initiation tasks, which new gang members have to carry out to be admitted to the gang. The latest craze is to drive around deliberately with no lights on their cars. The first person who flashes them, points at them, or sounds their horn at them has to be followed by that new gang member in the car and then has to fire a shot into the vehicle with no regard as to who is inside. I'm sure you've all heard this before.
Yeah.
Our official instruction is that if we see a vehicle with no lights on, we are not to flash it, etc. And the advice to friends and family is that you should ignore any vehicles you see without lights. I would ask that you pass this info on to all your family, friends, and colleagues by phone or email, and who knows, it may save a life. It's a lovely world we live in, isn't it? Anyway.
Wow.
Now, this goes on to say, this headlight-dipping gang initiation legend was born, as far as anyone could determine, in a Memphis newspaper in August 1993, as summarized at the time. Quote, prospective gang members drive around with their headlights off. Kindly motorists flash their high beams in a time-honored gesture to alert the drivers to put on their lights. The thoughtful motorist is then followed and killed. Exit one motorist, enter one gang member. Note that 11 years ago, gang initiation involved actual killing. By the end of September that year, the rumor had spread right across the U.S. Dire-sounding memos warning employees were circulated in corporations and posted in public buildings. Police departments tried desperately to calm the fears of residents, trucking companies, and auto dealerships, insisting the whole thing was imaginary. As Fortean Times commented at the time, quote, if the LSD tattoo transfer myth is any guide, this headlight thing will run and run. The reference was to the legend widespread in the USA and Britain since at least 1981 that drug peddlers were supplying school children with LSD-laced tattoo transfers, most commonly bearing an image of Mickey Mouse or a blue star, then released the drug into the bloodstream. Now, urban motherfucking legends.
You know, according to my sources, that back in the day, you'd flash your headlights to let somebody know that there is a police officer doing a, you know, stakeout down the road for speeders.
See, that's what I do, but I don't know how many people still do that. I notice it happens every once in a while in New York. I see some nice guy who might do that every, you know, here and again. But yeah, you know, you flash your high beams for anything. Somebody driving around with their high beams on, you might flash them. No lights, you might flash them, you know. And they trace this magazine traced this little urban legend back to 1993 in Memphis. I do recall hearing like a friend tell me about this and actually attribute it to some to a well-known New York gang at the time. And that was around 94, 95 when he told me about it, you know. And it's just unbelievable that, you know, 2004, it's still going around.
Yeah, well, there's a lot of things that spread around for quite some, like the Pop Rocks thing. You know, if you eat the Pop Rocks and drink soda at the same time, you'll die.
Oh, well, that's true. That's not an urban legend.
Really?
You will die. No, I don't know. I have no idea.
They actually did that on Mythbusters. They downed a whole bunch of Pop Rocks and soda. And
oh, so you see how timely this is? You know, Slip was telling me a little earlier that he was watching Mythbusters on what the hell does that come on?
Discovery Channel. Yeah, I was watching it. They tried to see if they could make the raft the way it was made at Alcatraz for the three prisoners that escaped, and they made it the way that it was made by the prisoners, according to the facts that have been gathered over time, and it worked. They made it.
It kind of reminds me. That almost reminds me of the what's his name, Thor Heyerdahl, and the talking about ancient civilizations traveling across the oceans and shit. He actually, Thor Heyerdahl, tried to make some little boats out of fucking wood and stuff like the ancients would have made them and tried to sail them across the oceans, and it actually worked.
Yeah, it's surprising. It's just, you know, that certain things do work that people would say, oh, that's inconceivable. But a lot of times, you know, I think people nowadays are expecting too many luxuries to be occurring for something to, you know, they couldn't have done that. They you know,
no, it wasn't easy.
It would have been like a death trap.
Yeah,
you know
it wasn't easy. You might have died.
Maybe they were freaking bored and you know, there was no PlayStation.
Well, people come across fucking down in Florida from Haiti and from Cuba, you know what I'm saying? They come from Haiti in these fucking rafts. And have you ever seen the way they come from Cuba? They convert these old cars into, like, boats?
Yeah, they did, yeah.
It's insane.
Yeah, I remember that. That was about a year or two back they did that. And it was an old car, and they brought it over. And yeah, you know, and because I live here in Arizona, some of the Hispanics that come from Mexico or the border, they die on the way over here, but they try to do it. So.
Yeah, it's like we're not saying that it's easy for fucking and somebody 10,000 years ago to build a boat out of wood and sail it from freaking Egypt to South America, you know what I'm saying? But Thor Heyerdahl apparently proved that it was easy. Not easy, but, you know, that it could be done. And on Mythbusters, they proved that, you know, you build a raft, Alcatraz, end up in San Francisco.
Out of 50 rain jackets.
50 rain jackets.
And glue, and they sewed some things together.
Yeah, it's possible. It's not easy. It's not like, you know.
And they snuck these rain jackets through the roof every night and put this thing together over a long period of time. You know, without trying to get caught and all sorts of stuff. So that's amazing what can be done.
Must have really sucked on the rock for these motherfuckers to go to such extremes.
Yeah.
I'm going to smoke another cigarette. Smoking's good for you, by the way. I don't know if anybody remembers, but it is. Fucking matches. God damn it.
But matches are bad because they start fires. But cigarettes are good.
You know what pisses me off?
I'm just joking.
You know what fucking pisses me off? These fucking cigarettes that they sell in New York now that are like fire resistant or whatever, burn resistant, where, you know, they'll go out on their own if you don't take a drag like every 3 seconds.
Oh, yeah, it's getting ridiculous.
It's fucking... And this propaganda machine called thetruth.com showing their commercials about this. They're yelling at people in tobacco corporate offices saying, oh, why aren't... In New York State, this is required. Why isn't it required in all states? It's fucking, why is it even required in New York State? This is fucking stupid. You're going to babysit me every step of the way? Can't trust me with a cigarette in my own motherfucking house? It's ridiculous.
Well, if they can't trust you with a cigarette, why the hell do they hand out driver's license?
Yeah, it's unfucking believable. Oh, I might burn...
I mean, if you can't handle a small piece of paper with tobacco in your hand, I mean, how do you handle a car with...
Yeah,
you know,
two-ton fucking machine, yeah. It's ridiculous. It's fucking utterly ridiculous that I have to, you know, I can go to Connecticut if I want, maybe, but if anybody knows my situation, I'm kind of forced to stay in my state for right now.
You know, I was watching this one show without, like, giving out too many details of this show, and these guys were taking a ride down to Mexico on their bikes, and they're checking out the view of this kind of, I don't know, just spectacular view, kind of like the Grand Canyon, but the Grand Canyon is pretty spectacular, something like that, though.
Yeah.
And they're in Mexico, and there's no guard, there's no railing. There's no nothing, and they're able to just go out there, and there was this kind of teetering rock over there.
They trust you. Hey, you might die, but if you do, you're an idiot. Isn't that kind of like natural selection?
Yeah, and they said that, and what he was talking about on there is that you know, over here in the States, he's like, you know, you'd see a rail here. There's nobody can go out in this rock, and he said the safety police have gone too far, and I don't really believe that they have gone too far. And actually, they did make another statement in there. They said down here, they said, because they're in Mexico, and they saw this car with these kids in the back of a truck, and these kids are in the back of the truck, and they said,
yeah.
They said in L.A., you know, they'll take your truck and your kids, you know,
yeah,
if you do
exactly.
That, you know.
Well, you know, like, it's not even you have to, like, leave the country for stuff like that, because I remember living in the Midwest for a little while, and I was driving down this road, and there was a lake on the side of the road. Literally, the pavement ended, there was about 2 feet of grass, and then there was a lake, right? No fence, no railing, no nothing, you know. And in the state of New York, there'd be some sort of railing, a fence, or something. But when I was in the Midwest, nothing. You know, I could just drove my car into that fucking lake. But I didn't, because I'm not a retard.
Yeah,
you know?
And that's, you know, that's the problems when you get into, like, a bigger society like New York and stuff like that. And a lot of people do retreat back to the smaller, you know, towns in the Midwest. Well, there are some big towns, but smaller cities and stuff like that, they don't have to deal with that crap. It's more peaceful, and you don't have to feel like someone's trying to babysit your ass.
Yeah, well, where I was in the Midwest, it was definitely an unpopulated area. The county I lived in was approximately 525 square miles, and the population was 20,000, as opposed to the county I live in right now, which is 425 square miles, and the population is about 1 million.
Yeah.
So that's a big fucking huge difference. I don't know. I think we need round corners. I think the safety police hasn't gone far enough.
Oh, yeah. Well, they'll go further, unfortunately.
You know what I think? I think that when I buy a pack of cigarettes, they should have someone come home with me and watch me smoke each and every one.
Well, you know what they should do is they should release an instructional video.
Yeah.
How to safely put out your cigarettes and also how to safely smoke them while not hurting others.
Don't fall asleep while you're smoking. Unbelievable.
Don't smoke.
Huh? Don't breathe in smoke. No, you know, smoking isn't bad for you. I have a filter.
No. I said don't drink and smoke.
Don't drink and smoke, yeah. Can't do that. You might forget which is which. Try to smoke your drink and...
drunk smokers.
It's unfucking believable.
And they might say that drinking leads to smoking, or vice versa.
It could. This fucking gateway thing. I love that. I love how they, you know, with illicit drugs, they talk about, marijuana, which is kind of a racist term. I don't like to call it marijuana. Marijuana to me is a racist term.
What would you call it?
I call it cannabis. That's what it is.
Well, that's true.
You know, marijuana was actually didn't that come about with what's his name, Pancho Villa?
I think so.
Yeah.
It's been around for a long time. You know, they had that. It's funny they had that marijuana stamp you can get back, and I think it's the early 20s or early 1900s. And if you brought in your marijuana, they'd give you a marijuana tax stamp so you could sell your marijuana.
Don't they still have that on the books in Arizona?
I think so.
Yeah, that's still on the books in Arizona. Believe me, no one will give you that fucking tax stamp. But
because if you brought in the marijuana, it's illegal to have the marijuana, so you get arrested right on the spot.
Yeah, exactly. But the stamp tax is still on the books, and, I mean, they should get on the ball with that. But, no, marijuana is it's a racist term. I'll just have to come out and say that. I call it cannabis. But, anyway, it's like saying cannabis is a gateway drug. Oh, you know, because – and they do studies, and they come out with these statistics. And anyone fucking who has half a brain knows how to lie with statistics. As a matter of fact, I have a book right in front of me fucking called How to Lie with Statistics. And if I look at the copyright date – pull this out. It's right over here in my bookshelf.
How many times have you watched, like, cops or they're having these high-speed chases on the freeway? How many times were they pulled over and they were just, like, smoked out like you didn't know? Like, how many times did you see them stumbling out of the car because they smoked so much weed they didn't know what they were doing?
Yeah, it doesn't happen. Here you go.
Like, you never see that.
Here you
it
go.
Never
this book was published in 1954 called How to Lie with Statistics. So this is 50-year-old shit we're talking about. And I'll tell you, with this fucking gateway drug thing, they always tell you, you know, getting off on this huge tangent. I haven't even read the other thing I wanted to read in here. But anyway, they tell you, I'll just make up a statistic. They'll say 90% of people who use cocaine use marijuana before they use cocaine. Okay.
It's cheaper.
Okay. I don't know. And it's more readily available. And why can't I say that fucking that tobacco or alcohol or caffeine is a gateway drug? Because I guarantee you that 100% of people who use any fucking illicit drug have taken caffeine before they did it. So caffeine's a gateway drug now because 100%.
Well, how about stress? How about stress as being a gateway to using any of these things?
It could be. Yeah, what about being born? Being born is a gateway because 100% of the people who use fucking heroin were fucking born on Earth.
You know, somebody pisses you off on the street or, you know, if you go to court or something happens, you know, let's say a police officer gives you a speeding ticket. Look, don't stress me because, you know what, this could lead to smoking marijuana.
Yeah, it could.
You don't even know what you're causing here.
Which, of course, as soon as you smoke marijuana, as soon as you smoke cannabis, like the next thing you're going to be fucking shooting heroin into your fucking nutsack. We all know that.
Oh, God.
We all know it. It's the gateway drug.
That's why I can't do marijuana because I know
I don't do any drugs because
right
you know what? I don't need them. But, yeah, that's a good reason to not. I don't want to do any drugs because the next thing I'll know, like fucking a week from now, I'll be fucking shooting fucking smack.
In my nutsack.
Got it right into my nutsack. You got to get away from it.
Is the best way, right?
That's how I used to do it back when I was a heroin addict. Yep. Right into the old fucking scrote. Anyway. How did we even get on the topic of that?
I don't know. But we're basically talking about statistics that are skewed.
Yeah, fuck statistics. But anyway, yeah, so my fucking cigarette has to put itself out. Fuck that shit. Anyway.
They did come out with the smokeless cigarettes. Did you know that, right?
Oh, God.
But the funny thing is after you smoke them, they do blow out smoke out of your mouth. So I don't really understand what's smokeless about them.
I don't understand. You know, actually, I talked to a girl from California who was telling me about that. She bought these cigarettes that just they're not burning or whatever or something, but you can still smoke them.
Yeah, the end has got some sort of steel thing on it, and it doesn't really ash. It's really weird, and it tastes like crap.
Well, she didn't tell me how it tasted, but she said some shit like she could put it in her pocket, and a couple hours later, pull it out, take a drag, and blow smoke out. I found the whole thing to be black magic, and I didn't want to get into it. it was just sorcery to me.
And just to let you know, we're coming up on 25 minutes.
All right, cool. Well, we don't have too much more to go. The other article I wanted to read, which is kind of freaky related, strangely enough, called Don't Answer the Phone. And this is from July. In July, a rumor spread rapidly in Lagos, the commercial capital of Nigeria, that anyone answering calls on mobile phones from certain, quote, killer numbers would die immediately. Mobile phone operators reassured the public via the media that receiving a call couldn't be fatal, but such rumors, like the endemic West African scare lore, often repeated in Freudian times, that handshakes from sorcerers can lead to the disappearance of genitals, which is, I watch out for that all the time. Never give a sorcerer a handshake or your genitals will just flat out disappear. These rumors are hard to eradicate. Soon the rumors spread across the country. Quote, from Abuja to Lagos, from Port Harcourt to Maiduguri, from Ajibu Odo to Sokoto, the message is the same. Take a call and die. As journalist Godfrey, I really am not going to be able to pronounce this, but I'm going to try. As journalist Godfrey Ikhemuemhe, which is spelled I-K-H-E-M-U-E-M-H-E.
Ikhemuemhe.
Yeah. As Godfrey Abu Dhabi put it. Many people abandoned their mobiles, while others refused to take calls from those whose names were not on their personal directories, or calls made after midnight, as it was claimed that most of the deadly calls were made at night. Whew, you got to watch out for the people making calls at night.
I think what we could do, because with most modern phones, you would just actually take these killer numbers in and make them forward to the loser line.
That's it. That's what I would do. And I'm going to list the killer numbers in a second here. To be on the safe side, many business centers in Lagos closed shop. So this kind of urban legend, or in this case it's in Africa, I don't know if you can call it an urban legend, but a legend nonetheless, caused these people to fucking close up shop. But anyway, on July 17th, the media reported that calls from the numbers, and this is what you're going to do, you're going to write these fucking down when I say them, and this, of course, like I said, this is in Lagos, Nigeria, so I don't know what the fucking city code or country code is over there. Can someone, Doug, can you look that up real quick before I read these numbers? Because I want to make it abundantly clear. Lagos, Nigeria. L-A-G-O-S. And the country, Nigeria.
Now, Dakota, should we give a disclaimer saying that if anybody uses these numbers and calls someone and kills them, it's not the Mind War's fault?
Yes, it's not the Mind War's fault if you use these killer numbers to kill anyone. Because I will say that it's widely known, this has been going around since July, that if you get a call from these numbers, you're going to die. So I wouldn't be playing around, but I am going to give the numbers out just for the sake of information.
I believe the country code's 234, but I'm going to double-check.
Okay, what about the city? Is the whole country, or is there a city code for Lagos?
That's what I'm checking here.
Yeah. Yeah, let me look up Nigeria here.
But also, if you take these phone numbers and put them in your text file, you have to get props.
Oh, yes. Okay, Lagos, the city code is 1. So what you're going to do, the numbers are country code 234, which is very easy, Nigeria 234. Lagos is a city code 1, and the numbers are 0802-311-1999 and 0802-222-5999. Now, of course, when you call these, you're going to want to drop that first 0. So when you call it, it's going to be 234-1-802-311-1999 and 234-1-802-222-5999. And it reports here that, and the media reported that calls from these two numbers had killed people who answered them on July 19th. On July 19th, a caller to a Lagos radio show insisted that his neighbor had received a call on one of the numbers and died the following day. On July 24th, a newspaper published a picture of a supposed victim of a killer phone call, giving her address in Alipair, Ketu, and the number from which the deadly call had been made. Calls to the number went unanswered. All phone operators and businesses could do would hope that the scare would die away as naturally as soon as possible. And this is from BBC News, July 19th, and The Times, July 20th, and Vanguard Media of Nigeria, July 26th, which is kind of funny how it's in the BBC News on July 19th, and it's in the fucking news in Nigeria on July 26th when it was supposedly happening there. Very odd. But you got to watch out for killer numbers. You have to watch out.
Yeah, I'm seriously writing those down.
Yeah, I'm very scared. Doug, do you want to call one of those right now?
I was curious if you guys are
able to do that. It's only 11 cents.
Call one. Call the first one. Call that 234-1-802. What was the exchange? 234-1-802-311-1999. Call that up. Let's see if we die. Oh, wait, actually, you have to die to get a call from the number, but let's call it up anyway.
I don't know, dude. I want them calling me back and me dying.
Well, just don't answer it.
All right, hold up.
All right. So we're going to call one of these killer numbers and, yeah, for no reason.
It reminds me of, like The Ring or something like that. You watch the tape, you know, you die 7 days later.
Reminds me of, like, that old movie from the 80s, 976 Evil.
Oh, yeah.
Remember that shit?
Yep, that was a good movie.
I haven't seen that like 20 years, 976 Evil.
I remember when that movie came out, actually, that phone number just got pounded.
Yep. And people were paying. That's a premium rate. 976, that's like a fucking 900 number. Doug, are we making the call to Lagos, Nigeria? Maybe he's dead. Fuck!
I get that recording where it's like, the number you have reached is not in service.
Okay. Those numbers are not in service.
Yeah.
Well, Nigeria's on the ball. They have to get rid of those numbers. So that could be the last thing we say here on the Mind War. It's getting fucking real late. Anyway, Doug, got any shout-outs?
Oldschoolfreak.com.
Oh, yeah. Fucking
yeah, back shout-outs. Up. Natus has got a few articles up there.
Yeah, definitely shout-outs to Natus. Anyway, Slip, you got any shout-outs?
Yeah, well, it's Old School Freak. I'm glad that's back up. Shout-out to the Arizona 2600 group, especially the Phoenix group. Well, definitely my friends Decoder and Doug who are on the phone right now. And VR, who's on the show with us every 2 weeks over at slipnet.org, and I think that's about it.
I guess my shouts go to my man Roger Five, who couldn't make it today. And that's about it. Nobody else, really. Fuck everyone else.
The song you were listening to.
Oh, yeah, I forgot about that. You're listening to... Oh, yeah, you know, I forgot to mention all of that. I'm a fucking noob. For these past... This is the fourth installment of the Mind War that we've created so far. And we're using songs for now until we run out of songs from this album. The opening track... Did we ever even talk about the opening track on any fucking episode, Doug?
No.
Well, the opening track that you've heard in these past four episodes is by KMFDM called Search and Destroy. And we should put the lyrics to that up on the website. I like the lyrics a lot to that song. Very good shit to say, these KMFDM guys. And we've been using songs from this particular album called Nihil, N-I-H-I-L. And, yeah, we're real nihilistic over here. And, what you're hearing right now is a song called Disobedience, which is track 7 off of that particular record. And KMFDM is a shit. But believe me, there's only about 10 songs on this particular record, so we're gonna start using different music real soon. The intro's gonna stay the same, KMFDM Search and Destroy. We have an edited version of it that we use because somebody complained that the first episode that the intro was a little too long. Probably was. Who knows? People don't like to listen to music. I fucking do.
Well, it was good to have it long for the first episode, and after that, the edited version. You know, we're going to edit up the lyrics, but it has that from the solo and everything.
Yeah, definitely. Now, what'd you have to say, Slip?
Oh, I was like, I love music. Like, I even, some of the, I put it at the end of the In the Now show. I usually put full songs.
Yeah, we put the full song at the end, but at the beginning we use an edited version. People just want to hear the fucking show. They don't want to hear the same song over and over, but that's what we're going to be doing. We're going to be using KMFDM Search and Destroy from the album Nihil, N-I-H-I-L. Like I said, I think it came out in 93, something come out. I don't know. I think it was 1993. Someone can correct me if I'm wrong. I'll correct myself when I look at it later. I don't see a copyright date on the actual jacket. Just like Default Radio, all the shit we use, you know, we don't fucking steal music. I don't have anything against people who download MP3s, but the music that we use, I have in front of me on fucking CD. Right there. That's the fucking CD. I have it all. We don't steal shit. I buy it. I support fucking bands like that. I don't support mainstream fucking bands. I support underground bands, and I'll buy their shit. Mainstream, you know what? Metallica, download the fucking shit. If you like mainstream music, download the fuck out of it. Steal it. Go right ahead. You know what I'm saying? I'm not saying it's morally right, but you could justify it. But underground bands, they, you know, they need their money. But anyway, we're out of here. This is the Mind War. You're all fucked. Later.
Peace.